Welcome to the True Blue LA podcast, where the lockout is gone and forgotten. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good. We finally have baseball stuff to talk about, and the Dodgers brought
back
the pitcher
so
we all
little to
thought
talk
they
about.
Were going to do. Yeah.
We have had so little to talk about the last few weeks, and now it's just going to be a fire hose, to use one of Friedman's favorite
terms. The pitcher everyone thought who was coming back is back. That's right, Shane Green. Back in Dodgers camp, and that's what we're going to talk about this week on the podcast.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we were fairly convinced there wouldn't be baseball, at least until my predicted date of June 1st. Eric won the bet. We've got a lot to talk about, and Eric even snuck in a Dodgers rewind, and we have questions from Craig after this. All right, Eric, is there a labor crisis in baseball?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
No.
Hey, look at that. It's going to be 5 years before I get asked that again, but boy, am I going to get asked it again.
Yeah.
Maybe not. They went a while being kind of normal negotiations. Maybe I'll have another streak like that.
There's no good thing about the lockout, except that it sort of smashed the it stopped people from being like, oh, we had 27 years of labor peace, and there wasn't labor peace, like there wasn't an actual work stoppage, but like the last 10 years, like there's been like total animosity between players and owners. Like the 2020 getting back to the field under COVID protocols was anything but labor peace. It was ugly and like technically not missed games for that, but it really was, like, just given how the negotiations went. So at least now we don't have to put up that like charade. But yeah, so like you said, so I won the bet, but I don't feel like a winner because it just the whole
negotiations
was
went closer
crap.
To what I was expecting. I feel like is how we can put this. But the specter of actually missing games and the fact that that would kind of just snowball frustrations and negotiations ultimately won the day. So you do technically win, but I'll take a
yeah, for sure. You win in spirit. Yeah. I win technically, but like it's, yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the negotiations themselves, it was just so dumb, like, just how it happened. Like, we're almost at, like, Armageddon point, right? So the last time we recorded was 2 weeks ago. We'll get back on a regular schedule now that baseball's on a regular schedule again. They were in sort of a cool down period after those 9 days in Florida. And then they started up meetings in New York again. And then so when the negotiations sort of ramped back up in New York, they had the same thing that they did in Florida. They had like a super long day where it looked like things were close. They were better at like not leaking stuff this time, but it was like 17 hours of negotiating, pushing past yet another MLB deadline to say, we're going to cancel more games if we don't have a deal. They went to the next day. Same thing where they couldn't quite get a deal. So literally Rob Manfred canceled another week of games. So we're at 2 weeks, but now it's at a point of like this, all the like rumored stuff, the system is basically the same. Like there's some minor tweaks, but like, you're really going to like strike, or not strike, but you're going to miss games over like rounding errors, basically. Like, and then, but also at the point that we were at, it was to try to get 162 games in, and they had canceled the first 2 weeks. So had it gone on longer, had they not been able to sort of come together, you would have had another aspect of the negotiations of the players wanting to get paid for a full year and probably not being able to just because of the calendar, but also them saying, if we don't get paid for a full year, you don't get expanded playoffs this year. So like, it would have just gotten more contentious over all this stuff. And then, but luckily they were able to sort of come to their senses somewhat. And it was contentious. They came to the deal on March 10th, the day after Manfred canceled the second week of games. So that was essentially, he's like, nope, my bad. We're not really canceling those games. So they haven't even put out the revised schedule yet, but it's basically, they're starting on April 7th. The Dodgers are April 8th. April 7th is a Thursday. They're just picking the schedule back up, and then they're inserting the first week of games later into the season. The season's going to end three days later than normal. So I believe the Dodgers' first series against the Rockies is just going to be tacked on to the end, and then they're going to work in the other series like through doubleheaders or off days throughout the season. So they haven't fully announced that yet, so that we have to figure out when those Dodgers' home games against the Rockies and Diamondbacks will be, but that's something for later. But what we have now is a 162-game season. We're recording this on Wednesday, March 16th, the spring training games start in 2 days. I think the wins for the players, minimum salary, it was up 22%. They wanted to get young players paid more. That was a good thing. It's now $700,000. It goes up to $780,000 throughout the life of the deal. The competitive balance tax went up. There was some movement there towards the end. Last year was $210 million, the threshold. Now it's $230. And then it goes up to 244. I mean, and you look at it, it's not exactly, but it's essentially the midpoint, from where they were sort of at in December. So it's like, you know, it always tends to sort of come down to that. The one thing that the, Players Union got, like, sort of not out of nothing, cause they gave up some stuff, but one of the things they were able to create was a bonus pool, for players with under 3 years of service time. Actually, also anyone who's not eligible yet for arbitration basically is eligible for the bonus pool, and it's $50 million per year. So that's like an extra thing they got. We're going to have 12-team playoffs where the top two division winners in each league get byes. There's a draft lottery. The top six spots are drawn. Baseball is not like other sports where there's no like LeBron. Even if there's a LeBron James in baseball, nobody comes in from, especially from high school, right? Like nobody's coming in from high school to the team like right away. So like, there's not like an immediate turnaround for stuff like that. But I don't know how much that's going to help competitive balance. But another quirk, well, maybe we'll dig into the CBA later, but we just have a lot of stuff to get to today. So I'm just going to touch on this. Another thing was they limited the number of times a player can be optioned in a season to five. So the Dodgers, as you know, like they're pretty good about dealing with whatever the rules are, and they'll just sort of exploit them as needed, I guess, is the way to put it. But Mitch White last year, for instance, was optioned 11 times. So they have to figure out, that's going to change some stuff, how things go. So yeah, that's like set now. And then, you know, this all happened last week, almost a week ago. It was Thursday when the deal was reached. Free agency opened because the lockout was lifted. Then immediately on Friday, Clayton Kershaw, the news broke that he came to an agreement, a one-year deal. Honestly, I was a little surprised by that. I didn't see any of the people in Arizona. I didn't go to spring training, but the people in Arizona were like, you know, talking to him and stuff. I don't know why exactly he only signed a one-year deal. Maybe it's just because, you know, coming off an injury, maybe he can have a better market next year. But I also, he was deciding between the Dodgers and Rangers, and, you know, maybe he wants just to have that decision at hand a year from now. But the deal became official on Sunday. That was the first day players reported. So Kershaw, it was 1 year, $17 million. He can earn up to $5 million in bonuses based on starts. If he wins the Cy Young, he gets $1.5 million bonus. That was the same as his last contract, although he didn't get the bonuses there. If he's second or third, he gets $500,000. But it was more of a sigh of relief because that was like a big thing sort of hanging over the team. Like, obviously they wanted him back, and it was, and he wanted to come back. He said the differentiator between Dodgers and Rangers was the fact that the Dodgers can win a World Series. So it wasn't like, he didn't say it as a shot to Texas, but it's like, you're clearly not that good, not good enough yet. You know, like it's hard to read it any other way. So the other stuff is all like sort of in limbo. Like Trevor Bauer is on administrative leave right now because things have started back. So we're still sort of waiting on, it's the same thing. Like, we don't really know when MLB is going to announce, finish their investigation or whatever. But some of the other reported stuff, Hanser Alberto, I can say, honestly, I did not see this coming. They signed him for the bench. They haven't announced that yet. 1 year plus an option. On the surface, doesn't look like much, right? 91 win WRC plus the last 3 years, you know, decent. I mean, it's not very good offensively, but also the third lowest strikeout rate in Major League Baseball during that time. He only strikes out 10% of the time. Also plays, it's some of the defensive metrics are mixed on this, but I would say he's mostly plus defense at second and third and passable at short, I would say. Some of the things have him as below average at second, but it's close enough to average. You know, it's not, I don't want to say it's having Kike Hernandez back because he hasn't really played much outfield, and it's not the same, necessarily same level, but it's having that, you know, they want that versatility on the bench, and given how the depth was tested last year, that's a huge thing. And then Jimmy Nelson back as well, also not yet announced, but he's also, he had Tommy John surgery and flexor tendon repair in August, so it's going to be like, it would take a lot for him to pitch this year. But he's going to go on the 60-day injured list immediately, so he's not really going to take up a 40-man spot. This morning, he told Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register in Arizona that he's hoping to pitch by September. He said, there's unfinished business for me personally. And then some of the notable non-roster guys signed, I mentioned Shane Green. Jake Lamb was also signed this week, former Diamondbacks third baseman. Been mostly like hurt and unproductive the last like 4 years. But like he was pretty good back in the day, so we'll see what's going on there. But it's all coming down to like now we're just sort of waiting on what Freddie Freeman's going to do. So yeah, well, I'll throw it to you before we talk about this, but where were you at, like, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but where were you at earlier in the offseason when, like, there were at least rumblings about the Dodgers being interested in Freddie Freeman?
I mean, because that happened a while ago, and I just, it kind of makes sense to me in the, like, when you lose Corey Seager's bat, you're kind of missing, especially the left-handed bat, but just in general, you're missing a little bit of oomph that you've come to expect from the Dodgers with no, like, it's a thing where it not a necessary move if Cody Bellinger or Gavin Lux kind of like figure it out this year, but you don't necessarily want to bank on that.
Yeah.
So it always kind of made sense to me, but I always kind of thought he's just going to go back to the Braves. This is not
right. Yeah, that I sort of thought he's clearly going back to the Braves. That was like number one, but also like I thought it was kind of overkill a little bit. You know, with the DH coming, it's you on one hand, and Muncy's not limited to first, so it's not that big of a deal. But like it just seemed like I guess because they you know you could say they lost Seager and they're just going to use that money, although it's not a 10-year deal. Maybe he hasn't signed yet, so we don't know. But, like, it's, I didn't put much stock into it until very recently. And, like, it's now, like, seems like it would be an upset if the Dodgers don't sign him now, mm-hmm. which is weird. And it's really obviously accelerated the last few days. I'll say this is weird. Well, for one, the context is that normally when you're at a point where there's access to talk to players and management, it's in the off season when these players are available, you don't really have that access, right? Maybe at the winter meetings or something, but since it's spring training and there's still people unsigned, it's more open. But I would say the Dodgers generally don't talk about people, even like people they're even free agents. Just Andrew Friedman like doesn't like to just put his hand out there and stuff, but like Dave Roberts last week over Zoom before he went out to Arizona, he said, "I would love for Freddie Freeman to be in a Dodgers uniform. Who wouldn't?" He later said that he spoke to Freddie Freeman before the lockout. Max Muncy was on KLAC with David Basse last week. He said, "Imagine how dangerous we'd be if we get him in the lineup," talking about Freeman. "It makes me really excited." And this is a guy who, again, is the Dodgers first baseman. So, but obviously he can play other positions. And then, so we were at dim sum. I was at dim sum on Monday. This is a usual New Year's thing where Jacob, if he's in town, we'll meet up and we will go to dim sum. Friend of the show, Craig Manami, was there. Dave Young, Sissy, and Marty were there. All friends of the show and site. We were there at dim sum when the news broke that the Braves traded for A's first baseman Matt Olson. And it was funny, just sort of the crescendo of how we all sort of put together what that meant in regards to Freeman. And it was like, I heard it, was like, oh. And then it got to Dave, he's like, oh. Like, we're all discovering, wait a minute, that means the Braves aren't going to have Freeman. Like, and then that the whole, like, well, he's obviously just going to go back to Atlanta is gone now. And then subsequently yesterday, the Braves signed Olson to an 8-year deal at probably roughly the same amount of money that Freeman might get in like a shorter deal. But like that's sort of where they're at. And then that day, Monday, Clayton Kershaw, talking to Plunkett again. I think he was just talking to reporters, but this is from Plunkett's story. Obviously, it leaves Freddie kind of out there for us. So they're just like openly going, yep, we want him. Like very clear. And so this is a very weird situation, but then you look at it now, the dominoes are sort of falling in the Dodgers' favor, I would say. So, some of the other suitors, like the Yankees, were rumored to be in, but then they just signed last night, Anthony Rizzo for 2 years. The Blue Jays were rumored to be in it as well. This morning they traded for Olson's former teammate, third baseman, Matt Chapman. They also have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first base. So it's hard to imagine they would also be in for Freeman after doing all that. And it seems now, there's like three other main suitors besides the Dodgers that have been mentioned, like the Padres, the Red Sox, and the Rays. So the Padres, I was looking, they're already at like $210 million in 2022 in luxury tax per cots. And they were only one of only two teams to pay the tax last year, along with the Dodgers. They barely went over, but paid a little bit of tax. Call me, I'll believe them going over the tax a second year in a row when I see it. Now, also, they would have to stay under the tax. If they signed Freeman, they'd have to try to trade Eric Hosmer, who's making a lot. But also they'd have to like package a prospect or two to like do that. Are they willing, really willing to do that? Like, they also just lost Fernando Tatis for 3 months. So it's, I don't know what they're going to do, but it doesn't seem as like, at least they're not in a position to say outbid the Dodgers, right? Like, it would be very surprising if that were the case. And then the Red Sox, same sort of the same boat a little bit. They're at $213 million right now. Again, the threshold this first year is $230. They're not, they've paid the tax, you know, a good amount over the years, but it'd be weird to have like 2 years removed from them trading Mookie Betts to like try to get under the tax to now so they can sign Freeman. Like, imagine on one hand, you don't want to try to keep justifying a bad decision by making more bad decisions, but it's hard to turn around and be like, yeah, this, remember how we wanted to, we should have kept Mookie Betts. Well, here's Freddie Freeman. Well, that's not Mookie Betts. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be weird. And then the Rays would be the weirdest, obviously. Ken Rosenthal sort of outlined the process of why the Rays might be interested. You know, he mentioned they'd have to like structure the deal creatively, but I think the takeaway in this was a quote from Rosenthal's piece. In the end, the Rays' quest for Freeman might only succeed in driving up the price for the Dodgers, their opponent in the 2020 World Series, or the Blue Jays or Yankees, a division rival. So that was like, that's probably part of their interest. It's hard, again, it's hard to see them outbidding the Dodgers. So like, but we're just like in wait and see mode. We're sort of joking, like, when we started recording, like, it would be great for the podcast if Freeman like signs. He put out a goodbye letter on Instagram to Atlanta, but obviously didn't mention like a new team or anything. And then Bob Nightingale sort of quote tweeted it, and he said Freddie Freeman gone but forgotten, and he forgot a word there, but it was made it one of the funniest tweets we've ever seen.
And you and I had to
laughing up about
delay that. Start recording because we couldn't stop giggling over it. Yep. So
yeah, speaking of potentially Dodgers first baseman, my trivia question for you today.
Yeah.
How many current Sportsnet LA broadcast members have started at first base for the Dodgers on opening day?
I will answer that after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How many members of the Sportsnet LA crew talent have started at first base on opening day for the Dodgers? So the over-under on this number, I assume, is 3.5 for me. So I'll go 4 and see if the chips fall correctly or not.
Okay, so it's actually 3, but I'm going to look up something to see if you got it right, because I've overlooked something that might tilt it in your favor.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. I'm like, I know it's 3, and then maybe.
Okay, I think he's technically, so the one in question who we're probably all thinking of, Steve Garvey, is not considered a part of the broadcast crew. Like, he's an occasional, he's like occasional guest. I think Sean Green is in that same boat. He also, this would put it up to 5 if Sean Green was included, but like, he's not included in there either.
Mm-hmm.
But just the news this week was, so the Dodgers added a bunch of people to their broadcast crew: Jessica Mendoza, Jose Mota, Adrian Gonzalez, Eric Karros, and Dontrell Willis. They're going to Mendoza, Karros, and Willis are going to do a bit of road games on TV. Now, that means that Oral Hershiser's schedule is going to be cut down a little bit this year. I reached out to him. He said it was his idea. We'll put a story up on the site. We'll link to it in the show notes. But yeah, he's happy to still, you know, be working, but he wanted to sort of cut down on the schedule a little bit. That's what he said. So the three in question who did start were obviously Karros, who started 9 times at first. That's the second most opening day first base starts for the Dodgers. Gil Hodges had 12. Adrian Gonzalez had 5 in a row from 2013 to 17. And then the third is Nomar Garciaparra, starting at first base in 2007. Steve Garvey started 8 games at first, but doesn't count on the broadcast crew. And Sean Green started once in 2004.
And Jerry Hairston had some games at first. It was another name that I was throwing in
but
there.
But not opening day.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, maybe it was like a weird injury thing, and he actually got there on an opening day. He was actually the name I was more curious about. And I figured, what I was betting on is you had a trick up your sleeve, and you wanted there to be a one weirdo name in here.
The outlier is Nomar, but
I remember that.
You also remember
he had to get a new glove and break it in. Yeah, a lot of stories about that.
That year where the Dodgers had like the infield with like 4 shortstops at times, former shortstops or whatever. We do have a bit of breaking news, not Freddie Freeman related, but old friend related. Ken Rosenthal is reporting the Royals are in agreement with Zach Greinke.
That's awesome.
Pending a physical.
Hey,
so, yeah.
I'm going to go see a Zach game. This is great.
Nice.
Maybe he'll play Dodgers play in Kansas City this year. I am hoping to go to all 3 games. The last time this occurred, I was hoping to go all 3 games and had a Tuesday wedding I had to go to that derailed that. And I knew I was going to miss the first game because I was coming back from a trip, but the last minute Tuesday wedding derailed the second day. And Craig was out visiting, and I wasn't able I was only able to go to 1 game with him.
Was it the Adams family?
What?
A Tuesday wedding?
No. It's funny because my trip I was coming back from was in Indiana featuring my cousins, who are the Adams family. I was like, how do you remember this? that's a little creepy, Eric.
You know what? Okay.
Okay.
Now, yeah. The thing... But the character... So Christina Ricci played Wednesday Adams.
Yeah, the character is Wednesday. I thought you were just stretching it a little bit.
But there is... Then why is it coming... So it still comes up like... This is a Bernstein situation. I knew of Wednesday Adams, but I thought there was also a Tuesday Adams for some reason. But it doesn't... It ruins my joke that I screwed that up. But on Google, it's like... I search for Tuesday Adams and... People also ask, is it Adams Wednesday or Tuesday? it's just funny. But oh well. So I screwed up the joke, but haha, anyway.
Whatever. Your excuse to avoid admitting that you stalk my personal life a little bit too much.
That's right. Yeah.
You have a Dodgers rewind for us?
Sort of. On Tuesday, I believe it became official. Andrew Vasquez, he signed a 1-year major league deal with the Toronto Blue Jays for $800,000. He was with the Dodgers last year for a very brief amount of time. They just acquired him from the Twins in a minor league deal on August 31st for catcher Steve Berman. He made it up to the majors shortly thereafter. Pitched in 2 games for the Dodgers. And why don't I have that in front of me? But he didn't give up a run, struck out 3, did pretty well. He had a 1-2-3 inning, with 2 strikeouts in his last game of the year. I don't really have much to say about him. He was from Rancho Cucamonga, So it was kind of cool to see sort of the hometown guy come home, but he's 28, or was this last year was his 28 season. So he's going to be 29 this year. But yeah, so he got a major league deal after spending most of the year in the minors. So good for him. But yeah, this was, as you can imagine, very scrambling, putting together this episode. So that it was a very quick, rewind. But, my question to you in, regarding, Andrew Vasquez and others, how many Dodgers pitched in a game in 2021?
You know, this was the big number we were following. And now I forgot it. Does it start with a three?
Yes.
37.
So I'm going to give you that one on a technicality.
Okay.
In that's the number of
pitchers
who pitched in the game. And but then if you add in Andy Burns, who is one of the non-roster invitees back, and Justin Turner made 39. So the other point I was going to Andrew Vasquez. So he was on the 40 man. For September, and then they actually non-tendered him in November to create room on the 40-man. So that's when he became a free agent at that point, and so now he's in Toronto.
Well, you know what? I worked up a bonus trivia question just in case, because you weren't sure if you were going to have one going into this. And I don't know if this question is going to be relevant after like the Royals signed Freddie Freeman. So it's a Freddie Freeman question. Freddie Freeman went to his first All-Star game, winning the final vote in 2013. I've got multi-tiers for you. Uh-huh. Can you name the four people he beat? Or let me put it this way. How many can you name?
Okay.
I'll give you one hint. There are two Dodgers on this list.
Okay. The one Dodger that I immediately thought of was Adrian Gonzalez.
Yep.
And then... Okay, so trying to think. 13. Yasiel Puig.
Yep.
Yeah, and who even though he played like a handful of games at that point, he probably should have made the All-Star team because it was just a crazy story. But
so
he was hitting like 400.
Any guesses on the other names in that list?
So they usually do. I'm trying to think if at some point they mixed up. I think it's all position players.
So this is actually really interesting. I'm looking at this. On the National League side, it's all position players. On the American League side, which is going to be my next part, it's all pitchers.
Oh, okay. Well, it might depend on the roster too, like how they set it up. But,
yep.
Okay, so 13. Let's go. Man. This is tough.
A San Francisco outfielder.
Oh, an outfielder. Okay, let's go. Oh, Hunter Pence.
Yep. And a Nationals shortstop.
Ian Desmond?
Yeah. All right.
Nice. I wouldn't have gotten those out of the hands.
American League, you've got reps from Toronto, New York, Boston, Texas, and Detroit. Can you name any of them? God. Can you name the winner? Can you name the winner? How about that?
Boston, New York, Toronto, Detroit, and where?
Toronto, New York, Boston, Texas, Detroit.
And it was a pitcher?
Yep. They're all pitchers.
No. No, let's see. Let me think.
This is a collection of names. I'll let you know.
Okay. Neftali Feliz?
Nope. I'm gonna give you one more guess. I'm just gonna say the names.
Are they okay? So it's I was thinking of let's go Anibal Sanchez then.
Nope. All right, your names are the winner, Steve Delabar. New York's represented David Robertson was maybe you could have gotten there if you had stretched.
Yep.
From Boston, Koji Uehara.
Nice.
From Texas, Tanner Sheppers. And from Detroit, Joaquin Benoit.
Benoit. So and who was the winner?
Steve Delabar.
Ah, nice. Hilarious.
So there you go. And that was the first final vote. No. We had plenty of final votes before that.
It was not quite final vote.
Yeah. Anywho, hey, speaking of questions and trivia questions for Eric, it's time for
Questions from Craig.
Let's start off with some trivia questions from Craig.
Let's do it.
Maybe they're Dim Sum related.
Speaking of David Robertson, he just signed today with the Cubs.
Oh, there you go.
Very timely of you to ask that.
All right. When it first opened, Dodger Stadium was a tough place to score runs. Can Eric name the top five pitchers with shutouts defined as complete game wins at Dodger Stadium? Hint, three are Hall of Famers. One
is this all time?
This is all time at Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
Three are Hall of Fame, and only one pitched in the near Jacob era. And I'm gonna qualify that by saying that's a generous use of the term near.
Okay. He said there's top five and three of them are in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
Okay. So the Hall of Famers have almost got to be Sutton, Drysdale, Koufax.
Yep. Sutton with 34, Koufax with 23, Drysdale with 16. I would have thought Drysdale had more, but...
And then Hershiser.
Not. He's number seven with 13.
So, wow. So is it Valenzuela?
Valenzuela with 17.
Okay.
And that is your near Jacob era. Again.
And he's the only one in the Jacob era?
Yeah, correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. Crosses Chad Billingsley off. No, I wouldn't. I was thinking Kershaw, but I know he's short. So
Kershaw of nine, by the way.
Ooh. Let's...
This is number two on the list with 24 shutouts.
Oh, Claude Osteen.
There you go.
Nice.
Can Eric name the six starting pitchers to have more than 10 games pitched with 10 or more strikeouts at Dodger Stadium? And for an extra credit bonus, can Eric name the three non-Dodger pitchers with at least five games with 10 or more strikeouts?
Koufax and Kershaw.
Kershaw with 44, Koufax with 38.
Fernando.
Fernando with 11.
Wow. Would have thought it was more. I think it's got to be. Let's just go with Drysdale.
With 11, tied with Fernando.
For longevity, I'm going to go back to the well and go Don Sutton.
With 19. You were missing one player who pitched in actual Jacob era with 14.
With 10 strikeouts. Did he do it in 3 years? What was it, Grinke?
It was not. Not on my list.
Ramon Martinez?
No, Ramon had 9.
Oh, Nomo.
Nomo it is with 14.
Nice. Oh, and then the other, the non-Dodgers. So, Nolan Ryan?
Nope.
Really?
Not a lot of games in the National League, right? It has to be at Dodger Stadium, so.
But like a good decade of them, though, I guess. I you're right, yeah. All right. Fine. Tom Seaver?
Nope.
Stop lying. Juan Marichal?
Nope.
What the hell?
The teams are an Angels pitcher.
Oh, sorry. Nope.
An Astros pitcher. And a pitcher who did it with the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. That one should help a lot.
Schilling.
Yep.
You said Angels and Astros?
Yep.
Angels. Well, this is stupid. let's think here. It couldn't be Like Jared Weaver.
Nope. It could not be. You were correct.
Yeah, I was right. Yay.
He's gone and forgotten.
So. Let's think to the Astros here. Good Lord. Not enough time with that guy. I'm just going to go Roy Oswalt and take my lumps.
Lumps you will take. The answer, Dean Chance for the Angels.
God, come on. Yeah.
And J.R. Richard for Astros.
I didn't think of the whole Angels as the home team aspect.
Nolan Ryan had 19 games at Dodger Stadium, by the way. I don't know if I can. I'm looking to see.
In 19 total games pitched. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, then why isn't he on the list?
He should have a lot.
He's truly gone but forgotten.
All right. Anywho, I don't have time to actually drill down into how many shutouts up. Totally. I wanted to give that to you. 10 pitchers have thrown a complete game no-hitter at Dodger Stadium. 6 of those are Dodgers. Can Eric name those 6 pitchers? Of the remaining 4, 3 pitched no-hitters against the Dodgers. Please name them.
So the 6 Dodgers, Kovacs, Fernando.
Yep.
Kershaw.
Yep.
Kevin Gross.
Yep.
Ramon Martinez.
Yep.
I'm missing one.
Hold on.
I think I named 5. Six. Yeah.
Yes, you're missing one.
Okay. Is it Bill Singer?
It is. There we go. Sorry, I was reading this. Okay. I think you said this name, but now I'm not positive. Yeah, there you go. There's your 6.
Okay. So the other 4, 3 were against the Dodgers. So you have El Presidente. Who are the other no hitter at Dodger Stadium? So Nolan Ryan was Astrodome. I was in attendance for this. Jake Arrieta's one hitter.
Yep.
So there's only one other one. So this is complete game no hitters because there was the Cubs one last year that I forgot about. This is tough. John Candelaria?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to skip over to the Angels one real quick.
Yep.
I think it's Dean Chance.
It is not.
Bo Bolinski?
Yep, there you go.
I was going to say him first too, damn it. So the other, I don't know who the other non-Dodger is.
Kent Merker.
God, why do... the one I have a personal story about. my friend Tom, we were in high school, sorry.
No, you're fine.
We were in high school senior year, and my friend Tom had tickets to the game, Dodgers Braves. It was a Friday night. It was the 20th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking the home run record. And it was about a 2-hour drive to Palm Springs, and my mom did not want me to do that. So, she was leery about, kid driving. I mean, we're 18, whatever, but, I didn't get to go. And then he pitched a no-hitter, and I was very mad. that's the story.
6 Dodger pitchers have thrown more than 1,100 innings at Dodger Stadium. Can Eric name them from lowest, which is 1,107, to highest, which is 2,027? Note that the gap from 2nd to 6th is only 206 innings compared to the over 800 innings from 2nd to 1st.
Okay. First is pretty obviously Don Sutton.
Yep.
1107. I'm trying to think here. Just thinking. Is that Fernando?
It is not.
In that case, wait, is it Oral?
It is not. I will let you know you just named fourth and fifth. Yeah. So.
Just to skip a little bit, is Kershaw third?
Kershaw is third. Barely.
Okay. So 1107 then is probably, oh God. Oh man, this is tough. Is 1107 Drysdale?
It is.
And then that makes second Claude Osteen.
There you go.
Nice.
Well done. That's it. That's it for trivia. You did well. You did well today.
Wow.
I'm proud of you. According to SportRec, there were 15 Major League Baseball teams with payrolls above $140 million and 7 teams below $90 million. Eric and Jacob, for the contest, two things. Name the amount between the highest payroll and the lowest payroll without going over. For example, in 2021, the Dodger payroll was $223 million, some change, more than the Marlins of $42 million.
That's using sport track numbers.
The other part of the question is name the teams that will pay the luxury tax this season. Those are the two parts.
Let's do the teams first.
Yep.
I think I'm giving us both Dodgers and Mets because they're both already like
yep. over the limit.
So we both say that. I think for sure. I haven't looked at all the other payrolls, but I think Yankees.
I'll go ahead and say I think it's just the Dodgers and the Mets.
I think I'm going to say Yankees Phillies.
Okay.
The Phillies signed Schwarber today, and I know they were close last year. Schwarber got $79 million over 4 years. After getting like. 1 year deal and non-tendered. Like,
yeah.
the previous couple years. So then the number between, so Mets, it's either going to be Mets or Dodgers, number one, probably Mets. And the lowest, looking at what the A's and Reds are doing, they're on a race right now to get to that spot. so let's say, I'm going to say $247 million.
I will go lower. I'm actually doing my rough numbers.
Yeah,
I actually think it's going to be... What did you say?
247.
I'm going to go 225. Wait, I could go $1. He's the Price Rice rules.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to go $1.
That'd be hilarious. I mean,
if we look back at this like a year from now, we're going to be, what the hell was I doing $1 for?
We're going to do something where all of a sudden in the next few weeks, like the Reds and the A's like just decide to start spending. And then every team is like really close to like literally the. It's going to be literally a dollar, and then I will give you $1,000 if that's the case. So, if you hit it on the nose.
How creative will the Dodgers be for signing someone like Freddie Freeman without knowing what will happen with Trevor Bauer? Do you see something like a large signing bonus but smaller annual amounts for the first 2 years? Could that help mitigate the luxury tax hit?
I don't know. I don't see tax or cash flow being a problem for them. So maybe it might be like a heavy signing bonus, but maybe spread out, maybe just for tax reasons for Freeman, because the bonus isn't taxed in where you play. like your salary is. So it's probably something like that. But like, yeah, I don't necessarily think the cash flow is a problem. So I don't, I think if they sign him, they sign him. And like, it, who knows? Like there was reports, like I think Heyman had something like the Dodgers offered like $5,140. That seemed low to me. And then Bob Nightingale had something where the Dodgers had a 4-year offer on the table. If it's something like that, I always sort of envision like $4,140 where they just go higher mm-hmm. on the average value, which would obviously hurt more against the tax. But like, yeah, I don't see him getting super like weird with it. I think it would be fairly straightforward. Before we get on to the next question, I do have more breaking news.
Uh-huh.
So they just, MLB just released the revised schedule, and I'm looking through it in real time here to give you the when the Dodgers games are extra. Okay, so May 17th, the Dodgers are going to... Oh, that's weird. They added one game. Why were they off that Tuesday? Maybe I'm just reading the schedule wrong. So it looks like they're just spreading the... So July 6th was a common off day for both the Dodgers and Rockies. So one of the four games of the Dodgers, Rockies four-game series is going to be tacked on to there. And then the other three are the last three games of the season. Oh, so I know it, what it is.
Is Sorry, it just a ahead. Game in the middle of the week? Just a one-game
no,
series sort
no,
of?
No, I read the thing wrong. So, okay. Yeah, so now the funny part is, so you have now the Dodgers were already ending the season against the Rockies at home. So now they end the season with a six-game series against the Rockies at home, which is awesome.
That's kind of now, awesome, yeah.
No, what it was, that the May date that I mentioned earlier, that's the middle game of a three-game series, and it's going to be a doubleheader day.
Got it. That makes way more sense. Just yeah. Like, all right, so Rockies, fly back here.
And then in September, wow, that's a heavy September finish. September 19th to the 22nd, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks are going to play five games in 4 days. So that was originally a three-game series from the 20th to the 22nd, Monday or Tuesday to Thursday. Now it's Monday to Thursday with doubleheader Tuesday. That's and then,
awesome. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah.
Not a thing I would want on a regular, but this is a sweet little yeah. one-off.
But I like, I absolutely adore the six games with the Rockies to finish. That's a fun thing.
So. Are they, and they're all at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, those are all home games.
That's, what a week. I'll have to see if I can, maybe I'll come out. Maybe I'll come visit.
And I think, I'm just looking real quick. They're also home before. They have like one series before that. Okay. Wait, just confirming it before we move on. No, I lied. They're in San Diego right before that. Close enough.
Hungry now. Sorry, I read Craig's the food question. I'm getting really hungry. All right, moving on to the next question, which is not the food question. Lots of new additions to the Dodger broadcasting crew. The one thing I'd like to see are StatCast features on more. What are your thoughts about all the new to-be Dodger broadcast additions?
Yeah, so the main thing for me is like the switch, like we talked about earlier, like that Oral is going to do less games because they're going to sort of divvy up most of the road. I think he might do some road games, but I think most of his stuff's going to be at home. So that's going to be a change to sort of get used to a little bit. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing more like stuff, but I think it's a matter of presentation. Like Joe Davis does a pretty good job of like presenting stuff, you know, just generally. Like he's a good conduit for adding stuff like that. So that's not that would be good. But it's all a matter of how it's presented, right? Like you don't want to like overload the broadcast with stuff. But I think, yeah, it wouldn't bother me to, I'm trying to think, I can't picture what the normal, like, person batting, and then they show the stat. They usually show, like, OPS, right, now, or no? It wouldn't be the worst if they added maybe a couple things to that. Like,
I feel like OPS gets listed, but I guess I can't.
Right, I can't definitively say so. Like, yeah, so,
it certainly gets mentioned a lot, and, like, I think that's, and it's something that Joe Davis has been good at, is sort of normalizing and explaining some of the Moore stats if they are pointing to something interesting. This is a good time to bring up in Joe Davis news with Joe Buck going to ESPN. I don't think anything official has been announced, but you would Joe Davis presumably is the favorite to take over World Series calling duties.
Yes, I would imagine that too. He called one of the like the other.
He called Game 7 of the NLCS.
He called the other division series that for Fox last year that wasn't the A team, as it were. But yeah, he called Game 7 of the NLCS for the Dodgers when Buck was doing football.
And was really good at it. Like, yeah. I know, obviously, it was a big Dodger win, but I think hearing from neutral fans, they all thought he did a really good job of making sure he was neutral while still providing a really good broadcast.
Right, exactly right. And then that's the thing. So, like, Joe Buck, that became official today going to ESPN. For moving with Troy Aikman for Monday Night Football, but that takes him off of Fox. And it's weird to think about this. Like, Joe Buck has called every World Series game since 2000. Like, that's a long time. Like, and so it's going to be weird just to have someone who's not him. I know people always complain, I think, whoever's the national announcer, but like, he got a lot of crap over the years. And
he had a period, like, I could, you know, not baseball, but the helmet catch call is just one of the most awful calls, I think, in sports, just how unexcited he is by one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. And it was during that streak where I did not like him a lot. It felt like he lacked enthusiasm,
but he's really, generally pretty good.
Yeah, really, I thought, especially lately, like, you know, sure, I prefer Joe Davis and there are other ones that I prefer, but like, generally didn't bother me. Now, his color commenter, when he starts talking about golf, little less interested in that, but
And then
nowhere, as far as I know.
You know, you mentioned the knock about like Davis. I mean, not Davis. Joe Buck being pretty unexcited, I guess, is the way to put it. And like, but like I think he sort of benefited from Drew Carey taking over Price is Right, who is like the most even droll response person ever. Like, no, that is unexcited. Like, Joe Davis is like Bobcat Goldthwait compared to that. So yeah, it's not so bad.
And I'll say Joe Buck's call of the Muncie 18 inning home run is great. His ability to exude the like, oh my gosh, it's finally over, while still making an exciting call. So good on that. On the broadcast editions, all the names I'm looking forward to. Speaking of people that get unjust criticism, I think Jessica Mendoza has been fine on ESPN.
Yep.
The ESPN broadcast is bad and is always bad, so I don't want to read too much into like her individual contribution to that, just because I think that's kind of at the top level there. Dontrell Willis, I've really, really enjoyed on TBS. Is that
Fox?
He's okay. Last year in the playoffs, thought he gave a lot of really good insight and did so in a really engaging manner. So those are the names I'm most looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to it all.
He's really good.
All right, food question. Tomorrow I'll be making corned beef and cabbage in a slow cooker. I know Jacob's feelings about soup, but do you have any one-pot meals that you might enjoy as we move from winter to spring? Winter is my big one pot month, just because chili and there's an onion soup, but it's so thick with onions and sausage and bread, it's actually a bread soup, that I am able to eat it, even though I'm not particularly a fan of soup. In the more warmer months, we make a lot of like chicken dips in the crock pot, buffalo chicken dip, or sort of Mexican spice chicken dip. What about you?
So about a week and a half ago, I made red beans and rice for the first time. Mm-hmm. I had red beans and rice for the first time by making it, and it was really good. I liked it. I'm generally not a beans person, but I think most of it is that I don't like baked beans, and I think I've wrongly sort of blanketed over all beans with that dislike. I do like refried beans, like in Mexican food and stuff, but like that's about it. And so I generally avoid beans. I guess chili is the exception. But
I've sort of... If you know beans about chili, Eric, you know
Yeah.
chili has no beans.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I made chili last month or 2 months ago or something with steak and with beans in there. Ugh. And I like it with beans. And I'm gonna make more chili with that. But no, one thing I do want to do is actually make refried beans rather than my lifelong either. Usually it's just fast food, but my lifelong thing would be if I had it at home, because I bought a can of refried beans and then heated that up. But I'm going to try to do the like Instant Pot, doing the refrying myself. First the frying, obviously, and then the refrying. But so I'm going to try to do that. But yeah, those are the things I'm sort of looking at.
Cool. Well,
what a transition. We're awesome.
Hey, we're in the podcast.
Baseball is back.
A lot of baseball news to consume. We got it under an hour. I'm surprised by that. I thought this was going to take a long time. I'm refreshing real quick to make sure we don't have a new first baseman in the Dodgers, and we doesn't seem like we do.
As of the time we stopped recording, Freddie Freeman is still a free agent. He did say his goodbye to Atlanta, but
who are we talking about? Thanks. I forgot about.
Frederick Freeman. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as for now, this podcast is gone and forgotten.